This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala al-ma'uthi rahmatin lil alameen nabiyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm wahidun wa shuruna min shahri dhul qada. 1445 al-muafiq li 30 min shahri mayu. 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last درس and last درس we were talking about the miraculous nature of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa in kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala salam وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين فإن لم تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين. الله سبحانه وتعالى talked to the Arabs, the Quraysh first and foremost, and the rest of the Arab also addressed here. And everyone who can receive Quran until the Day of Judgment, anyone who can receive the Quran until the Day of Judgment, the challenge is on and applicable upon everyone. If somebody claims that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who was writing the Quran and claiming that the book is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also are the expert of the language. They can just take a pen, you know, use their expertise to produce something like the Quran. And that was not within their possibility. And last week, I guess we demonstrated somehow how is it, you know, possible for us to say that they were not capable of doing it. Yeah, because there is no way for it to make sense for them to agree to go with the harshness and lose a lot of lives, you know, and their leadership and their land and everything. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just inviting them to produce something similar to it to prove their statement, right? To prove their statement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who is making it. So he says, bring one surah like it. Yeah. The whole Quran is not possible. 10 surahs are not possible. One surah also was not possible. Anything from the Quran was not possible. So the Quran has this miraculous nature that it cannot be imitated by anyone. And why is that? Because it is tanzeelun min hakeemin hamid. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. Whatever he does is unique and accurate. There's no deficiency in it. And no way for you to find any fault in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. And it is not possible for any of the creation to imitate it. That's why they failed. The predecessors who are the expert of the language, their expertise is much greater than what we have nowadays. They failed to meet the challenge. And for sure, we believe that the current generation, the Arabs and non-Arabs, whoever learned the Arabic language, there is nobody who has the capacity to produce something similar to the Quran. Even the smallest surah of the Quran. What is the smallest surah? Inna a'tayna al-kawthar, surah al-kawthar. Even that one cannot be produced by anyone. Even one ayah cannot be produced by anyone. So Allah says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُرَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. If you haven't doubt in that which we revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then bring a surah that is similar to that. Bring a surah that is similar to that. وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And cooperate with anyone you want. You know, don't do it alone, but just cooperate with anyone. Yeah? You have your own idols, you have your own, you know, leaders and masters of the language, experts, you know. Bring everyone. Min dunillah, anyone that you think has the capacity, you know, and has a divine nature, which, according to you, deserve to be worshipped, get them also involved in the challenge to help you, to cooperate with you, to produce something similar to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're truthful that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who is producing the Quran, then do something like that. Allah says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفَعْلُوا وَلَنْ تَفَعْلُوا. Allah says, if you don't do that, and by the way, you will never be able to do that. SubhanAllah. Allah says, if you can't do this, and you will not be able to do it actually, by the way, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. So what left? It's just to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. Stay away from and be fear of a fire. Allati waqooduha an-nas wal hijara. It is a hellfire, right? What is the fuel of hell? People and stones and rocks. You get it? When you put rock in the fire, you know, even the temperature increases, right? SubhanAllah. This place, there is no good in it at all. It's extremely, extremely evil. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, since you can't imitate the Quran, you cannot produce something similar to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Try to take yourself away from hell. Beware of this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that might afflict you. النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. So what can they do to prove? To observe taqwa of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in protecting themselves from going to hell. What can they do? To accept Islam, to accept the truth, to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, "U'iddat lil kafirin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided this hell for the kafirin, non-believers. This is Naru Jahannam. It has so many names. It has so many names, and each name has its own meaning. And that shows how terrible is the place, because none of these names is good. You get it? None of these names is good. Please beg them, tell them their voice is affecting the class. So this is the worst choice that a person can choose for himself, to be in hell. Yeah, there is no place which is worse than this. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them, if you can't do that, you know, the problem you have with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only thing that is depriving you from accepting Islam is that you believe that he's the one who is making this book. It's not from Allah. Which means if it is from Allah, you will take it, right? And how to test whether it is from him or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are the expert of the language. If you claim that it is from him or from another human being, because they said, إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. In some places they said, actually he is being taught by Bashar, a human being, and he claims that this is from Allah. So either he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or another person, both are human beings. If you claim that they are the writers of the Quran, then you also are a human being. Sit down and write something like the Quran. If this is not possible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them, okay, therefore, it is better for you to be humble and accept Islam and protect yourself from hell, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just increasing the temperature in hell and making the fuel of this place people and stone. Don't be the fuel of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them. If you have no any other objection because you couldn't produce something like it, that means this is not from him. Because he is human being. Yeah? It's not from him. That means it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created him. And therefore, keep your word, accept Islam, and protect yourself from the evil of hell. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Ibn Kathir mentioned a hadith, authentic hadith. He says, تَحَجَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ. Jannah and hell were having a debate. You know, Jannah says, I'm the best. Hell says, I'm the best. So Jannah told hell, I'm the best, better than you. Hell said, no, I'm better than you. And then hell say, I'm better than you. And it says to Jannah, can't you see who is inside me? Those gangsters, Firaun, Karun, Haman, you know, all of those who disturbed everyone on earth, you know. My inhabitants, they are those, you know, big people. So Jannah felt that it is somehow defeated. Yeah, because who is in Jannah? Means masakin, fuqara, you know. Those people who, nobody knows them actually. Yeah. So it complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, no, it is not in the way you are thinking. You are my punishment. I prepare you to punish those people who are arrogant, who are not good, who are not righteous. And you are my mercy. I prepared you to reward those people who are kind and good. SubhanAllah. That was the end of the discussion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْكُمَ مِلُوهَا. And I promise each one of you to make you full. That's why in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will say to Jahannam, are you full? Are you satisfied? He will say, I need more. Is there any more? Any more? Any more? SubhanAllah. So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because hell is saying, Ya Allah, my promise. You promised me to make me full. Yeah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this hadith of Al-Bukhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَضَعُ قَدَمَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his foot on hell. So it will shrink. The size of the hell will shrink. It will say, قَطْ قَطْ قَطْ. In the way it can only accommodate those who are inside. So then it will become full. Because Allah is adil. It's just. He doesn't create. He has a right to create anyone and put him in hell, but he doesn't do that. Okay, he doesn't create new creation and just put them in hell like this. No. Those who deserve hell, they already gone to hell. Right? Those who deserve Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them because of his mercy, they are in Jannah. We don't bring some people just to keep the promise. Allah is not a zalim at all. So that's how the case of hell will be closed. And now it is Jannah. Jannah also Allah will give. Put. Until the time there is nobody who remains to go to Jannah. Even the last person also get inside Jannah. And Jannah is looking for that promise which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is nobody remains, the last person went, you know that last person, right? Mm-hmm. And when that person went to Jannah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a new creation, fresh. Because this one is mercy, right? Not punishment. He will create khalqan akhar fayuskinahum fadl al-jannah. Fresh creation. And he will put them left in the leftover of Jannah. SubhanAllah. That is another hadith also quoted by Ibn Kathir. قَالَ وَمِنْهَا. So he's trying to tell us the hadith that talk about hell. وَمِنْهَا إِسْتَأْذَنَتِ النَّارُ رَبَّهَا فَقَالَتْ رَبِّ أَكَلَ بَعْضِي بَعْضًا فَأَذِنَ لَهَا بِنَفَسَيْنِ نَفَسٌ فِي الشِّتَاءِ وَنَفَسٌ فِي الصَّيْفِ. He said, hell, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permission, complain. This istidhan is a complaint. It complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it says, Ya Allah, أَكَلَ بَعْضِي بَعْضًا. Part of me is eating the other part. You can see how evil is this place, right? Something so evil in the way it eats itself. SubhanAllah. It says, Ya Allah, part of me is eating the other part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it is looking for support. And that's means it's suffering from that, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission to hell to breathe twice. To breathe twice. One breathing in the summer is the high temperature you find. And the other one is the winter. Yeah. In Malaysia, do we have summer, we have winter? Always one season, right? If you want to see this, go to the Arab countries. Yeah, some goes to 50 degrees. Yeah. It's really terrible sometimes. You see people melting, you know. And subhanAllah, this is when the sun is too far from us, you know. On the day of judgment, the sun will come near the head. Like how many kilometers? 150? It is mil. What is mil? Either 1 kilometer, this is a mile. Yeah. It's around 2 point something kilometers, right? Above us. And you just try to imagine how does that. That's why people will sweat. The sweat will reach the end. And this is the day of judgment. Somebody next to you is not sweating. You are sweating. Not you. I mean, somebody next to another person sweating. And the other guy is not sweating. Although according to some indications, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put people according to their categories, to their nature. You know, bad one with the bad one, good one with the good one. So in this case, you might not find somebody who is sweating next to you if you're not sweating. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us among those who sweat. That's why it is really, really necessary for us to try our best to make sure that we're among the 7 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put under the shade of the arsh. 7 people. Only 7 only? 7 type of people, right? 7 types of people, right? Who are these people? No, start with the first one. Well, which one is the first one? Imamun Adil. Yeah, in all the narrations I know it started with this, a just ruler, because this is really necessary to have a ruler that is just. And then, وَشَابٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. Okay, 7, right? And a person that, a young man, whose heart is always attached to the masjid. Does that mean he's always in the masjid? No. It means when he finished the prayer, he always put in his mind that the next one is coming. So he's always, you know, trying to observe the time, waiting for the time to come so that he will be in the masjid. Meaning he enjoys ibadat, you know. SubhanAllah. Who is the shab? Somebody from the age of 15 until 13. Yeah, 30 or 40, according to some scholars. So a lot of opportunities given, right? And people are sleeping. Okay? So a young person, that heart is always attached to the masjid. Next. وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَقَ فِيهِ. And 2 brothers who love each other for the sake of Allah. And they were combined because of Allah, and they were separated because of Allah. What does that mean? Does that mean they were separated because one of them did the wrong thing and then the other one ran away from him? No. It means they maintained that friendship, brotherhood, for the sake of Allah until death. Until one of them leaves this life. They will also be under the shade of the arsh. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. And a young person that was grown up in a good way, righteousness. A young person that was grown up in righteousness. Is that clear? Young man, but he grew up, the family, they gave him good tarbiyah. You get it? Yeah. So another opportunity to the younger people, right? Yeah. How many now we have for them? 3, right? All for them. Nashafi Ratillah, the one that always thinking of Salah. And which one? No, 2, right? Just ruler. We have 2. I'm looking for the one for the Shabab. We have 2 now for them. Rajulani Tahabba Fillah, this one, they're also included in this one. Right. And what next? ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم يمينه شماله ما تنفق يمينه. And a person who gives a charity and hid the charity in the way even the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is spending. Which means when he spends, he does like this. It's not like that. It means he made it in secret. Yeah. Even if he put his hand like this, but he's making it in secret. At night, when nobody can see him, you know, he goes. And this is really good. I really advise you, when you show kindness to somebody, try and make it in secret. Don't expose his need to others. Get it? Don't let his family know that you're giving. And warn him, please, not to inform his family that this you are the source. Yeah? And go to him. Find him in a secret place where nobody knows and pass it to him. That's the best. Don't let him come to you. It's a good manners and attitude, you know. It will help him, subhanAllah, to feel that he's respected by you. You get it? Now, there's even zakat. They have to come to and look for us and fight for their right. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. They mentioned some of the predecessors. They used to give charity. Even the poor people, they don't know who is the source. How did they do it? They come to them at home at night before Fajr. They put the money sometimes in their shoes. And sometimes they put the bag of food, you know, in front of the house and they leave. You come, you see food in front of your house. You don't need any explanation. You already know that somebody brought it to you. Just Allah barakatullah, enjoy your life. They don't know who's bringing. But everyone is receiving this amount of food. But they don't know who is the source. Until the time he died, that food cut off. They don't see it anymore. Then they say, the source of the food was so-and-so. You know? Very simple. But subhanAllah, he already died. He goes with his righteous deed and kindness. You know? So, تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمُ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. Next, وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي خَافَ اللَّهِ. A person who is invited by a woman who has mansib. Mansib means position in the community. She is in the authority. Meaning, even if he is going to commit zina with her, the case is not going to be discovered because they are the authority. Like the wife of Aziz in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. The husband is somehow either the minister or on top in the city. Anything happens between him and her, nobody would know. And those people also, they're very careless because this case happened, and what did he do? You just tell her, okay, don't do that. It's definitely done big, and then the case closed. You know. You get it? So, the Prophet ﷺ said, and a man who is invited by this woman, beautiful, and also she has the authority. Meaning, if he is to give her what she wants, most likely he will not be discovered, right? Meaning, free from any charge that might come in the future. But still, this evil opportunity, you know, that might be seen as an opportunity by some people, he said what? He managed to say, no, I fear Allah. And you, Allah, this is a very big mawqif. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, do not be in a place where there is nobody except the opposite gender. Talking to both, male and the female. Which we don't want to listen. We don't want to listen. You know, Yusuf alayhi salam, the Mufassirin, you know, argue a lot concerning what kind of harm he has towards her. Hers is known, that is evil thought about him. But how about him to her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرْرَعَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّ. The best opinion is that the thought that comes to his mind is the good one. He did not have a thinking of committing the zina with her at all, hasha. It doesn't happen from his side. That's the best approach. Who protect him? Allah says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Allah says, we interfere, we stop that evil from him. From reaching him. Subhanallah, because this is a very critical moment. Allah, it's hardly for a person to come out peacefully. Allah says, we interfere and stop it for him. You get it? Because of his ikhlas. Because he's one of the mukhlisin. So that's why, don't compromise, don't tolerate this, you know. You're married, your wife is receiving your friend at home. Wallahi, this is very evil. It is not our culture. Our bad culture also is that your brothers, your siblings also, they might come to the house. If you're not around, they sit in the house with your wife. Your brother can come. That one also is haram. They said, Ya Rasulullah, how about the brother-in-law? He said, that's death, al-maut. Ya Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows zero tolerance concerning this matter. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect them. Only Allah can protect. When these two combine, male and a female, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect. I remember one of the interesting and subhanAllah good story about our predecessors. One of these scholars, they said he was Waseem. Waseem means very good looking, but very knowledgeable person. He was on a journey to a place. And then he decided to take to have a transit on a place, at a place, and he was going to that other city with one of his students. So they were having a rest in that place, you know. So the student went to get the food, and a sister saw him. She couldn't be patient, you know. SubhanAllah, look at how shaitan pushed her. She came to him. Yeah. She came to him and she told him, Habli. So he has some balance of food. When she told him, Habli, please give me a gift, right? This is Habli, you know, give me a gift. So he pushed the food to her. So she said, no, I know, I'm not looking for this. Yeah. SubhanAllah, when she told him, I'm not looking for this, she knows what she's looking for. Because according to that story, she opened some part of her chest for him. A'udhu billah. So he cried a lot. He cried, 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 cried. SubhanAllah, until the time she left the place, he doesn't know she left. His student came back. He found him crying. He said, Sheikh, what happened? He said, it's okay. I just reflect upon things. And I'm crying. He said, no, Sheikh, I have witnessed you crying, you know, for so many times. I never saw you like this. He said, please, please inform me. And subhanAllah, he told him. The student cried. You know why is he crying? He was crying out of happiness. Alhamdulillah that he missed that time. He said, if I was in his position, I'm not sure whether I would be like him. So he was crying because Allah wants to help him that he did not witness that moment. No. SubhanAllah. So there is nothing better than following the instruction and the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says, do not be in a place where there is nobody except you and the opposite gender. Even if you are a medical doctor, because sometimes we have this negligence. Negligence, just because we are doctors, then everything is permissible. No, it's not. Doctors don't have a free ticket and permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to violate the laws. They also have to observe the Sharia. Yeah? Anything that is wajib, they also have to do it. You get it? And that's why a male should choose a male, and a female should choose a female, unless if it is critical and there is nobody except the other one, then he goes to the other one. That's how it should be done. But subhanAllah, we don't look for our right. In the hospitals, usually, it is the policy. You as a patient, you see who you want to see. You know, it's a policy. Yeah. If you go to government hospital, read the banners behind the doctors. You see a lot of rights that you have, but you don't know. Yeah. It's your right to look for to accept medicine or to reject. And they have no right to force you. It's your right to request for somebody, specific person to check you. It's your right. Yeah. It's not a matter of imposing, you know, somebody else's opinion on you. No. I like that system. Although it is not followed by the Muslims. It is followed by the non-Muslims. Yeah, when you go, you tell the non-Muslim this, they will say, oh, yeah, sure. With happiness, and they will do, and that will be no case. But if you are to tell a Muslim, he will open a chapter. I'm also a Muslim. Why are you different, you know? Astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So the best is to stay away from anything that can put you into this trouble. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ وَشَابٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي خَفُ اللَّهُ. So he told her, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I can't give you what you want. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So that's why both the brothers and sisters must observe hijab correctly. Yeah, must observe hijab correctly. Usually we neglect the side of the sisters. Right? Whenever we talk about hijab, where is the eyes? Brothers or sisters? Sisters. How about the brothers? Do they wear hijab? What is hijab? I know you were thinking about this niqab and hijab and all of these things. No, I'm not going for that. What is hijab actually? What covers the aura, right? The brothers, do they have also something to cover? Yes. That part of the body should be covered. It's wrong what some people are doing when they wear something that is very tight. Yeah. I taught in the school where some students were very honest. Amar, in your previous place. There was a time some group of students, they came to me. Ustaz, we need to talk to you about something. I said, okay, what is that? They said, they were so shy because they are sisters, all of them. And subhanAllah, I really appreciate it. And I talked to some of the authority. If it is not necessary, please don't let it happen. You know, because according to the rules in the school, the teachers, they have to tuck in. Even students also, they have to tuck in. Right? Yeah, they have to tuck in. So those one, they came and they were talking. Can we ask? It's no problem. But how to put it? I just put it anyhow. He told me, Saz, is it possible to talk to the authorities if it is not wajib? You know, for the brothers not to tuck in the teachers when they come to our class. Well, I still remember that. It's for them not to tuck in. One of them said, Ustaz, it's really disturbing. I said, okay, point noted. Yeah, and I told them, you know, because this is being honest, right? Yeah. You cause fitna for some people just because they don't talk. And tomorrow, if you hear something between the teacher and the student, we say, why? But who opens the door? We open the door, right? Yeah, even if you do the tuck-in, but the teachers or whoever is going to go to that place should wear something decent, not something that is very tight. It's wrong. It's not a matter of freedom. Yeah? In the way, you know, even at home, who do we always focus on to make themselves looking pretty? The woman. The brother can smell in the way he wants, you know, can do whatever, it doesn't matter. But if she doesn't do that, oh, subhanAllah, dunya qamat wala taqad, you know, why? You're not doing the right thing, but he's always like that. Worse, actually. That's why Abdullah ibn Umar used to, subhanAllah, dress very well. He told them, yes, because just like the way I want my wife also to be like this, she also wants to see me like that, you know. I remember one of the funniest stories, if you're not tired of stories today, one of the funniest stories I heard in the time of Umar. A sister was holding her husband to Umar radiallahu anhu. On the way she was saying, I don't want this marriage. I want divorce. They reached Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar said, Khair, what happened? She said, no, I don't want. I just want him to divorce. And the husband doesn't want to divorce. And the wife says, I cannot stay with him. Umar looked at him. When he sees him, he swallowed. He said, okay, please, can you just give us a few time? Let me just speak to him first. Come to me after like 1 hour, 2 hours. Umar looked at him. He said, come on, what is this?
very dirty, you know, and hadith wala haraj. Umar told him, what is this? What is this? How do you expect your wife to accept you in this way? You want to stay with her, right? Yes, he said, yeah, he wants. But what is this? Umar told one of the brothers, please help him. Let him go and take a shower. Clean himself, wear nice clothes, and come back to me. The man went, took shower, dressed up nicely, come back to the majlis. He sat down. After a few moments, the wife came. Umar asked her, where is your husband? She tried to see, she couldn't find him. And Allahu Ala, maybe that was the first time she saw him taking shower. She couldn't recognize him. And then after tadqiq, she realized that, oh, this is the one. She said, oh, is that you? He said, yes, I am the one. She said, Umar, I canceled that. She canceled the application. She said, okay, let's go back home. SubhanAllah. And this is true. This is fact, you know. But always we focus on the side of the sisters. So this is necessary for both to be wearing hijab when they are outside. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ihfaz awrataka illa min zawjatik. He said, take care of your awrah, preserve it, except for your spouse. And the last one is, warajulun dhakara allaha khaliyan fafadat aynaha. And a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret, and he shed tears because of that. Get it? Just sitting down, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cry because of that. We mentioned seven, right? Yeah, these are the seven people that will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah, there are many, right? So the opportunity, the chance is a lot. If you miss this one, you have the other one. Well, I really, really, really advise all of us to try our best to be in one of these. You cannot stand that situation in the hereafter. Exactly, inshallah, you cannot stand that situation in hereafter. So Allah commanded, He permitted the hellfire to breathe twice. Once in the summer, and this is the high temperature you get, and once in the winter, this is the cold temperature you get. Because hell is of two types, right? In terms of the heat, you know, it's two types. There's a place in hell which is cold. Zamharid, you call it. It's cold. Yeah, because cold also is a punishment when it is too much, right? You know. I remember a person who was killed by this cold environment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah. They said this person used to disrespect the prayers or curse the prayer or something like that. Very bad person. And he died in the water. And they used to call him fish, because he swims very nice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed him inside the water. It's a simple river. That he never expects himself to die in that place. And subhanAllah, they tried to search for him. They couldn't. There's a lake. Somebody went down. It's a bit deep. He said he found him. He found him in a place which he said extremely cold. SubhanAllah. Allah took him to that cold place. Case closed. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَحَذَرُوا. Be careful. Beware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the right thing. The last hadith mentioned by Ibn Kathir here is the hadith of the hajar, the rock that was cast in hell, right? The Prophet ﷺ, some of the companions were sitting down, they hear a bang. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked them, do you know what is this? They said, Allahu A'lam. He said, this is a rock that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throw it in hell. And it spent 70 years, only now it reached the bottom of the hell. How many years? 70. Imagine 70 years ago, you know, the rock was going down. You know, when something is falling down, the speed is very high, right? 70 years, the rock is going down. It spent 70 years for it to reach the bottom. And Allah promised this place to make it full. Allah protect us. So nothing left except to do the right thing and stay away from this evil place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "U'iddat lil kafirin." Who are the kafirin? Non-believers, right? They do kufr. What is kufr? Covering, you know, something. They cover the iman and expose something else. They don't accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They rejected the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the only one to be worshipped. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give a good news, glad tidings to الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. You know, Allah talk about the kuffar, right? Where are they going? Hell. Are they going to come out of it? The kuffar will never go out of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Khalidina fiha abada, right? How many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned abadan for the kuffar? Last time I think I asked this one and you failed. How many places are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about people going to hell and he says abadan? Many places just Khalidin fiha, right? But this one, abadan. When al Hufaz, Abu Hanash, and Hamad, and Ihsan, and Kareem, Bashir. Ammar? Waliya wala nasira. Which surah is that? One of the surahs in the Quran, right? Surah al Ahzab. خالدين فيها أبدا لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا. Okay, the second one, سورة النساء. Yeah, the last three pages, the first one of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says خالدين فيها أبدا إلا طريق جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا. That's number two. Number three, go all the way down to the last two juzu. Surah 2? Abayna, there is no abadan for the kuffar. The mu'minin, that is. But the kuffar, that is. Yeah. There is khalidina fiha. Yeah. For the khalidina fiha, abada for the mu'minin. Yeah. But for the kuffar, Surah Tawbah, that's not Surah Tawbah. Anyway, Surah Al-Jinn. Yeah, Surah Al-Jinn. Somebody say Surah Al-Jinn. You know, Surah Al-Jinn. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يَدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Yeah, these are the only places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned abadiyah for the kuffar when they're going. And we have two types of hell in terms of the inhabitant. The place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the believers who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some things and they go to hell because of their disobedience and their sins. And the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the kuffar. The place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Muslimin who have some issues. This place will not finish, but there will be a time when there will be nobody inside that place. The place will be empty. Yeah, because no Muslim will remain in hell. But for the place of the kuffar, there is no possibility for them to come out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about hell. He said, give good news to the believers, those who are not kuffar. And what did they do? They did the opposite. Those one disbelieve in Allah, but this one believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These ones believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they put their faith into action. Not just we believe, but they act upon that faith and belief. What is al-amal al-salih? Amal al-salih? Good deed. What is a good deed? What constitutes a good deed?
Doing what Allah wants, how He worships.
We're doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, how He wants you to do it. Okay, that's very general. Very stingy answer, but it's correct. Yeah. Okay, please put it in the better way. In the way everyone, including us, will understand. That's an answer there from Umriya. It says, ikhlas, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and doing it according to the sunnah. Two conditions. Yeah. Al-ikhlas, al-mutaba'ah. Doing it sincerely for Allah, and also according to the sunnah. This is exactly what Adam is saying. Doing it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He wants, in the way He wants. Because if you do it without ikhlas, are you doing it in the way Allah wants? No. If you do it not according to the sunnah, are you doing it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? No. So, وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The condition for you to get this good news is to believe and act upon your faith and maintain your istiqamah until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what good news are you giving them? أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. They have Jannah. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. In which Nahar, what is Nahar? River. Rivers are going underneath. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these rivers in Surah Muhammad, Surah Al Qital. Yeah. How many rivers he mentioned? Four. The river of water.
Water, honey, yeah. Wine, and milk.
Yeah. Water, honey, wine, and milk. Mm. Subhanallah. Laban. Laban is yogurt, right? Milk. They call milk halib.
Before
we pronounce halib. Halib bimana mahlub.
Yani halib
bimana mahlub. Min al-baqar. Aw al-shah. No, I'm just using the urf. Yeah, when they said halib, this is the early stage, right? I'm just asking, even according to what you are saying, halib bimana mahlub, at the time they extract it, how is it? This is halib mahlub.
You know. Extract it out of the cow?
Yeah, whether from the cow or from...
The cow.
But he was right. And the human beings, when they don't call it halib, they call it laban. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says laban, it could mean, is it possible to mean both?
Yeah, and yogurt or milk.
Yeah, both of them. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do they have the thing we are having nowadays, the yogurt?
They have cheese.
Yeah, running away from my question. Do they have the yogurt or not? So with the Jannah also we say Allahu Alam, right? You know. So it could be just halib like what Yusuf says, or laban according to the urf and nas. So Allahu Alam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wa anharum min labanin lam yataghayyar at-ta'amu, the taste. The yogurt, the taste?
The yogurt changed, so it's milk.
No, wait, wait. I'm the, the yogurt, the taste changed?
It used to be milk and then it became sour.
No, my question is the yogurt.
It does become more sour with the ham.
So the taste changes.
Yeah. Yogurt is milk, but the taste changed.
But if we say according to the urf, what is yogurt? That one, right? Yeah. And that is also another one that the sourness is not. It depends on how. But anyway, this inshallah, let's go to Jannah. We will see inshallah what is there. So laban lam yataghayyar ta'amuhu. Right? Laban lam yataghayyar ta'amuhu. Milk that is not changed to make Yusuf happy. Alhamdulillah. You like milk? Oh, that's why. Okay, and then what else? The honey. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, min asal al-musaffa, the pure honey that is clean. وأنهار من عسل مصفى. And what else? Which one? لذة للشاربين. خمر لذة للشاربين. من خمر لذة للشاربين. The wine that is لذة للشاربين. Why لذة للشاربين? Because the other one doesn't, it's not لذة. It's very strong, very harsh. Yeah, that is not, I mean, this name is the same, but nature is different. Yeah, yes, we're going to see, inshallah, from the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, there is nothing in in this dunya which is similar to that which is in Jannah, except in names only. You get it? So even the yogurt or milk or whatever that exists in Jannah, river is just a name, but in reality the nature is different. Yeah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them with description, which shows that yes, they're much, you know, there is no room of comparison actually between what we have and what is there in Jannah. You have water, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Min ma'in ghayri asin." So that means extremely pure. No similarity with that which you have here. And khamr, no similarity with the one you have here. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, لا فيها غول ولا هم ينزفون. Ibn Qutaybah, ينزفون or ينزفون. Ibn Qutaybah says this ayah is very comprehensive. It negates any negative thing that takes place in wine when a person drinks it. No headache, no vomit, no dizziness, no losing aql. So it's so comprehensive, that this ayah describes the wine in Jannah which makes that statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas the ultimate truth about the similarities between Jannah and dunya. And you have the Laban, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is not similar to that which we have here in this dunya. Whatever you have here in this dunya, Halib, Laban, whatever you have in this dunya cannot be similar to the one you have in Jannah at all. Two different things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Anhar. Do we have some other? Allahu alam. We have a Kawthar also passing through the Jannah. But these Anhar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Surah Muhammad, Surah Al-Qital, they are there in Jannah. And where are they coming from? Firdaus. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ فَسَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Whenever you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jannah, ask him Firdaus. قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Is the highest level in Jannah. وَأَوْسَطُهُ. What is the meaning of أَوْسَطُهُ? No. أَوْسَط here is أَفْضَل. And people are saying wasat, they define it in the middle. No, it's afdal, not awsat al-jannah. Qala awsatuhum ay afdaluhum wa a'adaluhum. It's not the one in the middle. No. Qala wa awsatuhu yani afdaluhu, the best. You get it? A'la, the highest, wa awsatuhu is the best. You say wa fawqahu Arsh al-Rahman. On top of it is Arsh al-Rahman, the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْهُ تَفَجَّرُ أَنْهَارُ الْجَنَّةِ. And from it, the rivers in paradise comes. So if you go to Firdaus, the rest of the people are taken from your left over. It has to pass through your place first to others. Yeah. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you ask Allah for Jannah, ask him which Jannah? Firdaus. Yeah, don't ask any other Jannah. Ask him about Firdaus. It is the best Jannah, right? Contrary to what some of these people are saying, it's one a person who usually speaks about science, you know. I saw him talking about physics in the hereafter. That was it. Leave that name. He says, actually, the best Jannah is Jannatul Na'im, not Firdaus. And he has his own explanation and all of these things. Allah guide him. He has a lot of shatahat. Allah guide him. That's why taking your religion from Ahl Sunnah is necessary. Necessary. Because they are the ones who are umana, trustworthy. They tell you what is the truth. Okay. أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ They have this Jannah, which under it is the Anhar, right? The rivers. كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقُنَا مِنْ قَبْلٍ Whenever they are given anything from Jannah, the fruits. How many fruits you have in Jannah? Allah says, مِنْ كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ From every fruit. زَوْجَان. Two types. Everything. That's Jannah. And this Jannah is two types also, right? The one that most of it is gold, and the other one is from silver, right? Which one is the best? Of course, there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He get them inside, He said, Hal jaza wal ihsani illa al ihsan. Allahu Akbar. So He says, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةِ الرِّزْقَ Whenever they get some fruit in Jannah, they will say, no. هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقُنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ We just got this a moment ago. وَأُتُوبِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا Because they look alike. But then when they taste it, oh, it's a totally different thing. SubhanAllah. Imagine life like this forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you every single time a new thing. Forever and ever. You're dealing with who? Rabbul Alameen. And subhanAllah, these fruits in Jannah, Allah says, قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَا What does that mean? The fruits are very close to the ground. In a way, you don't need to suffer when cutting it. Meaning, you are sitting down, you can just take it. They come to your mouth also if you wish. As somebody says, you can just sit down and call them and they come. Is it possible? Yes, because Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ You can just call the fruit one by one, one after the other. Just come to your mouth and you eat. Some people say there is no eating in Jannah. Do you need to argue with them? Just tell them, you don't want to eat, we want to eat. Yeah. Otherwise, what is the point of having the fruits and food in Jannah if there is no eating in Jannah? But there is no bathroom in Jannah. You don't need to use bathroom. Qadi, yes, somebody, one of the Jews told him, you, the Muslimin, you believe that in Jannah, you eat, but you don't go to the bathroom. He said, yes, what's wrong with that? He said, no, cannot. Human beings, when you eat something, not everything of this food get to be that you have to remove some. So Qadi Iyad said, oh, that's your belief. He said, yes. He said, okay, let me ask you a question from the same way you are talking. Oh, let me ask you a question from that way also. He said, when you eat food in this dunya, what happens? He said, some of it will be digested and some will go out. He said, oh, there is some which will be digested, will not go out. He said, yes. He says, oh, not all of it is going out. He said, yes. He said, don't you think the one who has the power to keep it in your body has the power also to keep all of it? SubhanAllah. He doesn't know what to do now. Yeah, because they also know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know Allah. And he knows it's possible. Yahud believe that this is true. But just to make Muslim annoyed, he's saying this. He believes that this is true. That in Jannah you eat without using the bathroom. You don't need it. Yeah, it's a complete life. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever they're given, you know, from all different types of fruits, they will say, oh, we just got it a moment ago. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they will be told by the angels, or the wildanu mukhalladun, those people who are serving them in Jannah, And even the fruit itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ He says, حَسِبْتَهُ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. Yeah. When you see the fruit, you will think that this is a pearl, you know. That is just, a bunch of them that newly opened, you know, you put a lot of them in one place. Yeah. Very shiny, very beautiful. You don't need to wash to eat. Fresh and no side effect at all. You can eat as much as you wish, 24/7, and you will never get fat. It never grow. Your life remains. No sickness, no anything. And you are eating Jannah not because of hunger. It's just because desire, you just want to eat. So, all types of fruits you have and everything. Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ وَأُتُوبِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they have wives that are pure and clean. Because all the things that can happen to a sister in this dunya, starting from height, and whatever we do, we use the bathroom, right? Both male and the female. In Jannah, there is no bleeding, no spit, no anything that is considered as disease that come from us. It's a very pure and clean. I hope I did not destroy your technology. You get it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ فِيهَا خَالِدٌ. Here, the reference, is it on the Hurul Ayn? You have the Hurul Ayn in Jannah. Is it from the Hurul Ayn? Or the reference is to the sisters who went to Jannah? And by the way, who is the best in that house?
The sisters who came from this world.
Who came from this world. Because this is her house. Because there are some sisters who don't like to hear this Hurul Ayn thing. You know? The worst I heard was a sister who asked, in Jannah, am I going to be alone? They said, no, there is Hurul Ayn. She doesn't want Jannah anymore. She said, how about hell? Of course, hell you. SubhanAllah, according to that story, they said she used to ask Allah to take her hell, she and the husband, so that she will be alone in that place. Ya waylahu. You get it? Ya waylahu. But the case is not going to be like that, you know? That's why whenever you read Jannah, through the glasses of the dunya, you will get lost. Wallahi, you will get lost. All of these many of these descriptions mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person might not find them, you know, because interesting, because he's looking at it through the glasses of the dunya. When you remove that one, you just look at it through the glasses of the hereafter, then things will be correct. There is no jealousy in Jannah. There is no hatred in Jannah. All of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them in the sisters and the brothers also for the benefit of humankind. Because the jealousy of a woman shouldn't be removed. It's good. It's excellent. It protects the community. It helps in preserving the community. Because if you look at the places where there is no jealous, the sister is not jealous, what is it happening in that community? Tragedy. Yeah. Do you get it? Yeah. So in Jannah, we don't have this at all. She is going to be happy with that kind of life, and there is nothing she would tolerate more better than that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They have wives that are not similar to the life you experience in this dunya. No najasa, no disease, no disgusting things, no anything. From both sides, a very pure and clean life in Jannah. And that's why both should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the right thing. You know, whatever a sister wants in Jannah, she get the best. Allah says, لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Whatever you desire, you get it the best way. both brothers and sisters. You know, there's no way for Hurlain to be better than her if she goes to Jannah, because she went through the test, right? And the Hurlain did not go through that. And whose house is that? It's her house. Yeah, although they are also wives, but the house is given to her because she also has Jannah. Sisters, do they have Jannah also?
Yes,
because Jannah is given to anyone, everyone, right? Yeah, and it's good actually, the system to function like this, because sometimes the husband is a loser. He did not manage to go to Jannah, alhamdulillah, and his wife is in Jannah. Problem. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give her the shafa'ah to take him out of hell, to Jannah. And to make her happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him to her own place, because it's better than his. You get it? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to make the righteous people happy, to bring their family members. So if the husband is good and the wife is bad, she will join him in that place, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive her. If she is good and he is bad, he will join her in that place if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. And if he is good, she is good, but she is better than him. So to make her happy also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him to that place. So everyone has his own reward. Allah will not, according to what we know, did not say that, okay, since she's married, then she now just go in with the husband. Yes, she will be his wife, but she has her own place also. You get it? It should be their own place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to put it for them, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and tawfiq. A lot to say about this place, but I will not, you know, exhaust your enjoyment. You know, I will leave it, inshallah. From time to time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention Jannah. We will be cutting from, you know, time to time, a bit by bit. But for now, the most important thing is to understand the first part of the ayah. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And to give the glad tidings, good news, to those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the righteous deed. Yeah, so iman and al-amal as-salih, so that you can get the Jannah. لَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعَيُنٍ جِزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, you don't know what Allah is hiding for you of those things that will make you satisfied because of your good deed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيرٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Where's the evidence for there being a cold place in hell?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the Zamharid. Zamharid is a cold place. It's found in hell. It doesn't exist in Jannah. You get it? Zamharid is a place in hell. And Zamharid is cold. It's not hot. You know? Udulan. It's not middle ummah or balanced ummah that some people are saying, you know, just to support their so-called moderation is wrong. Wasata means udulan, just nation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already told us what it means. Then khalas. All the other interpretation has to be kicked away. He said on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will invite Nuh alayhi salam. And he will ask him, did you convey the message? He will say yes. How long has he been with those people? He will spend 'So Allah will ask Nuh alayhi salam, did you convey the message? Nuh alayhi salam will say, yes, I did. And then Allah will ask his people, هَلْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنْ بَشِيرٍ أَوْ نَذِيرٍ? Did you receive anyone who came and remind you about Ijab, they will say no, Maja, and I mean Bashir Waladuddin. Nobody ever reached us. We never saw anyone in 1,000 years, except 50, and they lied. They said no, nobody. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Nuh alayhi salam, do you have any evidence to support what you are saying? He will say, yes, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam are my witnesses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, can you witness and can you give you the testimony that Nuh alayhi salam conveyed the message? Then we will say, yes, Ya Allah, he did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and then I will be brought by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to confirm that we are okay, our testimony could be accepted because we're speaking the truth. Yeah, because we read in the Quran that he did convey the message. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطَ أَيْ عُدُولَ. Udula means just, we go with justice. You know, there's a meaning of wasatiyya. That means you're not with this one, you're not with this one, you're with wherever justice goes. You know. Any other interpretation should be kept aside because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the correct interpretation here. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا قَالَ أَوْسَطُهُمْ أَيْ أَعَدَلُهُمْ وَأَفْضَلُهُمْ. You know, that's the meaning of wasat. Wasat could mean middle, and it could mean also, what do you call it? Something that is better. Afdal. It's something that is based on justice. And,
it's a question from a sister who is referring to a hadith. It was narrated that Uthman said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever dies knowing and acknowledging that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, he will enter paradise. Is it also for hypocrites? Because they also know it and acknowledge it too, but although
they don't.
Not from their heart.
Hypocrites don't. They don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, knowing, it means believing. Hypocrites don't believe. You get it? They do the iqrar bil lisan. They say with their tongue, la ilaha illallah, but they don't believe in that. You know? So they're not included here at all. It will not benefit them because they don't believe. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah sidqan min qalbihi." Truthfully, hypocrites are not like that.
It's a question from Umrayan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh.
Assalamu
alaikum. Ahsan Allahu alaykum fi dunya wal akhirah. If we have friends staying with us and they have a separate entrance but is connected to the house with separate floors and rooms, is it okay for non-mahram without a mahram to be in the same house for a short period of time? For example, if the guests are all males and the wife is left in the house, is it?
She should go out. Shouldn't stay in the house where there are guests who are all male and she's a female inside that house. That's absolutely wrong. It's impermissible for her to be in that place. You know, no trust at all, whoever they are.
Vice versa.
At the same goal, the same. She should leave the house and wait outside or go to visit somewhere else until her husband comes back first. And this husband also should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cannot leave his wife in a house where there's nobody except old brothers.
When joining a person in salah, are we supposed to tap them to inform them that we are ma'mum now?
You just need to let him know. So if you're next to him, just go and say, no need to smack him. Yeah, you just go next to him. That's why the best way is to be side by side, in the same line, not to go behind. Although some scholars said, since you're the imam, the other one should go a little bit behind. Nowadays it's not, they say a little bit behind. Nowadays it's all behind. That's wrong. Even according to that statement, what they're doing is wrong. But the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas is very clear that he was praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pulled him. There are two of them. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pulled him to him, put him in the same line. He went back again. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought him back again. He went back again. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought him back three times. After the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ said, what's wrong with you? I brought you three times and you're going back. He said, Ya Rasulullah, the problem I have is that whenever I come to the same line with you, I just remember that you are Rasulullah and I'm just Abdullah ibn Abbas. How can I be in the same line? So he has his own ta'wil. It's true what he says. He cannot be equal to the Prophet ﷺ, but this is prayer. Rasulullah ﷺ taught him what to do. But the companions, they have this, you know, respect to the Prophet ﷺ. That's why Abu Bakr, when he was leading the prayer, and the Prophet ﷺ came, what did people do? Clapped. Come back, your tenure is over. Because Rasulullah ﷺ was not there, so Abu Bakr was leading, so now Rasulullah ﷺ came. When Rasulullah ﷺ came, subhanAllah, very humble, what did he do? He joined the prayer. So Abu Bakr kept on, going to come back, you know, the Prophet ﷺ was indicating to him, mechanic. He refused to listen. So the Prophet ﷺ went very quickly and he stand next to him, keep him in that place. So they pray all together in the same place. But Rasulullah ﷺ was the Imam now. So Abu Bakr was now the Ma'mum. So people are following the prayer of Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr was imitating Rasulullah ﷺ. After he finished the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Abu Bakr, why didn't you continue to pray when I told you to? You understand my indication. Why didn't you just stay and continue with the prayer? SubhanAllah, he doesn't even care about this word. He said, Ya Rasulullah, ma kana li ibn Abi Quhafa. So he even belittled his name. Ya Rasulullah, there is no way for the son of Abi Quhafa to pray in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just smiled and leave him. This is who they are with the Prophet ﷺ. But from that hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, we understood that the correct position for one person is the same line, same thing, exactly the same, not to go back even a little. You get it? Yeah. So you don't need to tap on his shoulder. Just go and join him. He knows that you're following him. You get it? If you are more than one, you're going to go behind, and you're afraid that he doesn't know that you guys are there. Inform him from the beginning. It's good for him to know, because sometimes if this person is not used to the imam, he's going to be nervous. You know? Is this somebody was leading the prayer and they came and they follow him? Yeah, and he did not know that people are following, and there were a lot. When he says Ameen, he hears the voice Ameen, the man. So he's started shivering. So we don't need to tap on his shoulder, but we need to inform him in any way. You get it? So just coming to him, sometimes we just raise up our voice. Yeah. When he says Allahu Akbar, you say Allahu Akbar, he knows that there is somebody following him from behind. But it's okay if you touch his shoulder also, inshallah.
Is it the same for brothers and sisters?
Yeah, of course. The sisters also when they are praying, not in the same place. Mm. Yeah, because in the US, they serve is halal. That's Amina Wadud. She was a khatib making khutbah on Friday. And the mu'adhin also was a sister without hijab. And they have free mixing in the masjid. He has a brother, he has a sister. So Imam says, Sawusufufukum. Everyone is fixing the line, shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot. You know? Imam doesn't need to bring stick to fix them. They come. SubhanAllah. May Allah guide them. They don't want good for us. No. That's why they take useless among us to go and distort the religion. Yeah. Allah guide them.
Question from Sister Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
In a polygamous marriage, how is a sister supposed to behave with her husband's other wives and not let her jealousy overtake her manners and thoughts?
She's supposed to continue with her jealousy, not to stop it. Yeah. That jealousy shouldn't stop at all. However, she shouldn't go beyond the limit. Wives of the Prophet, are they jealous?
Yes.
Are they jealous?
Yes.
Yeah. One of the wives made a mistake. She sent food in the house of Aisha. Aisha was there. And this one who was bringing the food, he said, this is food from so-and-so. Aisha kicked the food with her neck. The Prophet ﷺ managed to save the food, but the plate was broken. Rasulullah ﷺ said, Alhamdulillah, we saved the food. You don't need to pay a lot. But the plate, you have to compensate her. She doesn't mind, but she got what she... the message she sent, she already sent the message she wanted to send. Don't send food in my time. Anyway, did the Prophet ﷺ blame her for this jealousy? No, he just said, غَارَتْ أُمُّكُمْ. Your mother is jealous. It's good to have jealousy, but don't go beyond the limit to harm the other one. Then she will be sinning in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't hate the sister. Because there are some sisters who hate it. If they hate it, they're hating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. Is it a must that she must accept? Salam. Is it wajib for every sister to accept polygyny? No, it's not wajib. Yeah, she can say, I don't want it. Is it right? Does she get sinned by saying she doesn't want? No, she doesn't at all. But to say she hates it, or it is prohibited, or it is unfair, or it is injustice, then she is dealing with who? Rabbul Alameen. I was reading the constitution of one of the countries. It said polygyny is strictly prohibited. Strictly prohibited. This is part of their system. What do you call this? Kufr. Kufr. Whoever wrote that, if he believes in it, he went out of Islam immediately. He has to come back to it. Yeah, this is very good for us to know. You might stay away from something because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it wajib upon you to accept it. That's okay, that's fine. But don't hate it. Don't say it is haram, because you will be dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that case. You know? So how is she supposed to deal with it? Keep the jealousy. Don't stay away from jealousy. It's wrong. It's going to harm the husband also, and the family as well. She's going to be the youth. She will see evil, and she will tolerate it. Why isn't he bringing a random sister to the house? Because he has a wife, and he knows that, yes, she will never tolerate this. So that jealousy is good for who? For him. You get idea. So she keeps that jealousy also. She doesn't want to tolerate staying with somebody. That's all right. Whether it's good or bad, this is something else. For her to believe in this, there's something else. But is she committing sin? No, she's not. What is wrong is to say that Allah is unfair. Then she will go out of Islam immediately by this. You know? So that's my answer to this question. Yeah, she should be moderate and careful not to harm anyone because of jealousy.
Sheikh, I read that if a lawmaker institutes a law that goes against Islam, it's not kufr unless his intention is explicitly kufr. Like if he says the zakat is to be paid to me, this is not kufr if he does this out of greed.
Yeah, that's true.
So why doesn't the same thing here apply for the polygyny?
That's you just apply the same concept that if they know. That's why I said if they believe, you know, when they write it and they mean it. Yeah, I think in my statement I say, yeah, if they mean that word, intentionally they're saying that it is strictly prohibited. That's kufr. Mukhraj min al-millah. You get it? The one who says zakah is only to be given to him. If he says zakah is only halal for me, only. Nobody is haram to give it to a poor person. That's kufr. He has to come back to Islam again. He must say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and repent, and come back to Islam again. But he brings a law other than the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that the law of Allah is better, but out of following the dunya, he established this system. This is an act of kufr, not kufr that takes him out of Islam. But then he brings a law, which is other than the law of Allah, and he says, this is the best, much better than what you find in the Quran. That's kufr. He goes out of Islam immediately. Yeah, that's what we have to be very careful. Those people who are, you know, making our leaders disbelievers because the law is not according to the Quran and the Sunnah, they're wrong. The predecessors don't say this. Yeah. You only say this upon somebody who says, yes, I know Allah said this, but to me it's not like that. That's kufr. And I believe the one that we live in, they're not like that. Except those few. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them.
In case there seems to be a positive sign from the ex-spouse, who is considering about marrying again through messages. In this situation, should the sister just ignore him and just treat him as a non-mahram unless he proposes about it?
Yeah, he is a non-mahram. The marriage already gone, right? Yeah, he is a non-mahram. He's just like anybody else. Yeah. She has to treat him as a stranger. He has to come like anybody else. He cannot say, oh, this used to be my wife, I know. It doesn't go like that. He has to come through the correct way. This is wrong. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. He said, كفر دون كفر. You get it? الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله is an act of كفر. An act of كفر might not be كفر itself. That is the difference between كفر and an act of كفر. You get it? The person might be acting like a kafir, but he's not a kafir. We call the action act of kufr, but it's not kufr. Sibab al-Muslimi fusuqun wa qitaluhu kufr. Fighting a Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, is kufr. Is it the kufr that takes him out of Islam? No, it's not. You get it? There are many places where the Prophet ﷺ said, these things are act of kufr. But the scholars almost unanimously agree that the person who does this, as long as he doesn't believe in it to be correct in the way he is doing it, he's not a kafir. You know. Kufr is very, very, very sensitive word. You know. And a person should be very careful before he put it on somebody. Finish?
Follow up from the previous question. You know. What helps the sister keep away from her insecurities in a polygamous marriage?
Insecurity. What is the insecurity?
Not specified.
And the husband is not doing that. What is going on, actually, it's just a lack of a proper, you know, reaction. Trust me, in most of these issues when the problem lies, it's lack of proper reaction. When the husband wants to marry, and he did the marriage, sometimes he scared the sister before the marriage, always talking about it. You know. She's traumatized before the marriage. So when the marriage happens, now it becomes qadr, right? She accepted, it happens. So the reaction that comes from her is very negative towards him and the new person who joined the family. This person is human being. I'm talking about the good ones. There are some people who marry just to get rid of for the first one. That's injustice, unfair. It will be responsible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will pay the price in the hereafter. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has to do the imsakum bil ma'ruf aw taslihum bi ihsan. There's no way for him to keep a woman with him while he's disrespecting her. That's haram. But I'm talking about the good ones. Life between him and the wife was good. But then he decided to bring another person to the family. Yeah. What happens usually is that the reaction is going to be very negative. And that husband, if he's good, he'll be trying to convince her, but she doesn't want to get convinced. Yeah, so he's still with the second one. The first one, the relationship now becomes hush, very light, you know, between them. Yeah, they'll continue like this, they'll continue like this. Trust me, in most of the instances, there will be a time when she will be taking a break, cooling down. But at that time, the husband already lost hope. He also started to take over, you know, in terms of in the battle. Before he used to be defending, apologizing, and now after exhausting his effort, and she's not willing to listen. So now he also get into the debate. And when she sees him coming also into the debate, she cools down. At that time, he doesn't want to get cooled. That love that used to exist and the respect in his heart somehow is gone. So the level of his respect towards her is down. So if he doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time she's going to see a lot of things. At the end of the day, either she stays in that kind of humiliation or she looks for the divorce. That's why many sisters, they will be staying in that marriage, not because of anything except because of the fact that they have kids. They don't know the situation of the kids, what it could possibly be if they leave the house. Do you get the idea? Yeah. So that's why good reaction, as long as it happened, you know, a person should ask Allah SWT to choose the best, you know, for them. When it happens, they should ask Allah SWT to choose the best for them. That's better for her, rather than getting herself at the end of the day into this evil situation where the husband will be disrespecting her, and at the end of the day, either she remains like this or divorce will take place in that unpleasant way. You know. So it's a qadr, as a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribe it. Nobody can remove it. It remains like this in the Quran. But as I said, it's a matter of choice from both. The husband who wants to marry is not wajib upon him to marry. The wife is not wajib upon her to accept. You know, it's a right given to both. She has a right to say, I don't want, and he has a right to say he wants. Do you get it? What is it good or bad for both of them? This one, it's another topic. But I'm just talking about right. So we look at it in the sense of qadr. It's a test, actually, for both of them. Is it a test for the wife?
Yes.
It's a big test. You Allah, it's a big test. Is it a test for the husband?
Yes.
Yeah. People, is it a test?
Yeah.
Huh? This Yusuf is saying Akbar, actually. You Allah, being married to a second wife is not an easy thing. It's a big test. You know. Because now that the responsibility on him, I'm not talking about the financial responsibility. No, that one is simple. You Allah. It's not easy. Because he has to be fair and he has to be just to both of them. And you know, it's not possible for a person to love two people equally. It's not that possible. Even your kids, your children, you love them so much, but your heart is inclining towards some. Although you don't show it, but it is there always. This is very natural. So when somebody has more than one wife, of course the love is there to one of them more than the other one. He loves both of them. So how is he going to be fair to the one that he doesn't love? So he's going to make a lot of ta'wil, stay a little bit longer with this one and make justification, and also buy things for her, this one, the more quality, and the other one, less quality, you know. All of these things are counted. On the day of judgment, when he comes back to Allah, half of his body will be dragging on the earth. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. Yeah, people take it lightly. Nowadays, just go and marry. And everyone is talking about marriage nowadays. Second marriage. Everyone. But a person should study. And this is also my personal advice to anyone who is thinking of this. And he already has a family. Think a lot. Marrying a second person is not like the first time you go in, where you close your eyes and compromise. So think a lot. If you cannot solve this puzzle, then don't think about it. Just stick to one. Allah says, فَوَاحِدَ, it's better for you. Don't forget you have family. You need somebody who can come and add value to that family and not destroy your family. Many marriages happen, and that the cause of the family to be destroyed. Is that clear? Yeah. So a person should think wisely. Don't think about the dunya side, no. You're going to cry and regret. You Allah. You will cry and regret. You think wisely and do the right thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and make it easy for both. Finish. Okay, why do you make this question the last question? I thought that some. Okay, anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيلٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته